All right, everyone, here we are for our Holy Week episode, and we are excited that you're here. Today, you've got me, Dana.
Hi, it's Chelsea.
And we're excited to be back with you and to talk a little bit about Holy Week.
Yeah, Holy Week. If you didn't grow up in a church that's liturgical or the Catholic Church, you might not know what Holy Week is, because sometimes you kind of jump from Palm Sunday to Easter, and there's a lot that happens in between those two things.
A lot.
Yeah. But basically, it's the march to the cross. It's the last week of Jesus's life, and a lot of really important things happen. And so today we're going to focus on the Thursday, the Last Supper that Jesus has with his disciples. Later this night, he gets arrested, and then the next day he's killed. But we're going to focus on the dinner tonight.
We're going to focus on what goes on at the dinner. And so this is sometimes called Holy Thursday or Maundy Thursday, which Maundy means commandment. We're going to focus in on the book of John, the Gospel of John, which if you haven't, we encourage you to go back to the last two episodes because they also focused in on the Gospel of John. And specifically, these chapters 13 through 14 in the book of John are what we call the farewell discourse.
Yeah, it actually goes all the way to 17.
Oh, 17, sorry.
Yeah,
yes.
So there's five chapters.
Five chapters.
Which
chapters.
Is like 20% of the gospel.
Right.
Is what we call the farewell discourse. These are Jesus's last words.
Last words.
He knows it's time. Mm-hmm. And not only is he telling his disciple these things because he loves them, but the disciples are the one that's going to carry this message out. It's going to, you know, start the way. And
right.
So there's two kind of things. He wants to tell them he loves them and ground them, but also for the mission of the work.
It's funny, just as we sit here and we think about it, Jesus has spent 3 years with the disciples.
Yeah.
And when I read this, when I read any of the Gospels, I never think the disciples, they don't really ever truly get it, do they?
Yeah.
It's a different topic, but I just want to point out, like, Jesus has spent 3 years of his life with these disciples, and now this is the end. He's saying, here's it. Here's where we go.
After 3 years, you haven't got it, but I'm going to try to make you get it one more time.
Tonight.
Yeah, but you know what? I am sure that the disciples felt the gravity of this conversation.
I think they did.
And yeah. Hopefully, yeah. I mean, you know, they were paying extra attention.
Well, and, you know, we're not going to spend a lot of time talking about foot washing because we did talk about that last year. So definitely go back to season one. And if you want to learn a little bit more about foot washing, which, you know, Chelsea and I are big fans of. But I mean, even that act was very radical. Mm-hmm. And so I think that also sets a stage for what they were encountering in that space is like, okay, wait a minute. You're washing my feet. Yeah. What?
And then you have Peter who still doesn't get it.
Still doesn't get it.
So, yeah, maybe that was their wake up,
Peter.
Their wake up. But Jesus has a lot of things in here. I mean, he talks about the Spirit coming to them after. He talks about staying connected as Jesus is the vine. He talks about the new commandment to love one another. He talks about being a servant. There's just so much good, so many gems in here. But we're going to focus on chapter 14 in John. And the title of this might rub some of you the wrong way, as it has rubbed me the wrong way over the course of my Christian journey. But the title of this, if you're looking at the NRSV version, is Jesus, the Way to the Father.
Yes. And we picked this because we thought, ooh, this could be a good one to go through. Because this has been controversial. It has been used to make people feel excluded, mm-hmm. to make people feel like they're not going to get to heaven or they're not going to have an opportunity. You know, so we want to just kind of pull this apart because why not just dive into complicated?
Yeah. I grew up thinking that belief in Jesus was the way to get to God.
Yeah, you had to believe in a guy named Jesus.
To go. And so that discounts what, like, at this point, probably like 80% of the population, right? I mean, just that if you didn't confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior, heaven was not for you.
Yeah. And so it's interesting. So I grew up also definitely hearing that. I you know, born and raised in a Methodist community in a rural small town. But I think I didn't really understand it. And then I realized it can't be true because my best friend growing up, starting in like seventh grade, is Jewish. And so right then and there, as I spent the most formative years of my life with this person who I grew to love and cherish and still do, I was like, yeah, this is not, that doesn't mean that. Because right. there's no way she going to heaven. That's right. all there is to
She's
it.
She's coming with
she
me.
She is coming with me, period.
Yeah, and it's because you've had experience. You know yeah. people that have expanded your
100%.
Your small thinking. But this is common today.
It is.
I mean, people really, and this is why you, if you might know like evangelists, like they really feel a personal responsibility to convert you.
Oh yeah.
Because you're going to hell, man. Like, it is their
going
job.
Down to the H-E double hockey sticks.
I mean, this is like a really truly held belief, and I think what we're trying to do is just to ask you if maybe you've grown up with that, maybe just expand, put that down for this episode.
Yeah.
Think about maybe a possible other way to look at this passage and to look at, you know, what is Jesus really trying to tell us here?
100%. And if you have people in your life who practice other faith traditions or no faith tradition, just think about talking with them about their lives, not about your life, not about your belief, not about Jesus. And I think you see that God is in everybody and yeah. God loves everybody. And this literal interpretation is not serving anyone.
Right. Right. I mean, we were talking before this episode about like a spectrum of morality and how we love to place people on it.
Yes, we do.
Including ourselves. And so I think sometimes this is used to make people feel a little bit higher up on the spectrum of morality and put people down there, which we all love to do in our own ways at certain times. So.
And Christianity has certainly been the culprit of that on many, many, many occasions.
Yeah.
Colonization, you know, empire. But anyway. All right. So let's just, should we read a little bit of 14? But the specific verses that we want to talk about. And I'll point out verse 6, where Jesus said to him, and he's talking, I think, to Thomas, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him."
And if you read that literally, it makes sense that Jesus is the only way you're going to get to heaven. I mean, if you read that
verbatim, like it's,
right.
Yeah. And not really spend any time thinking about it.
Like if you're talking to someone who's a little bit more conservative or fundamentalist or that could be a strong point for them. I mean, they could have a very strong conviction in that literal interpretation. How do you read that, though, Dana?
So we've talked about this. And again, given my experience, I always come back to love. And I come back to if you replace Jesus, the word, if you replace the name Jesus or me or I or God or Father with love, what you realize is that love is the way. Love is the truth, and love is about life. And so in order to get to eternal life, which is with the holy divine, the full expansion of the Creator, you have to have love because that's what the holy divine God is full love. And so for me, it makes sense that way because how else can you get to that perfect place if you don't? And we're going to talk about whether or not I can fully love because I can't. I'm working towards it. I'm on a journey towards it. But I think that's what Jesus's entire life was. So forget the name Jesus for a minute and think of Jesus as full love.
Yeah. And what it reminds me of is, you know, Jesus wasn't 50% human, 50% divine. Jesus was 100% human and 100% divine, which is a really hard concept.
So hard to grasp.
That you can be both of those things. When I read this, I think Jesus was fully human, right? He's standing, he's having a meal, he's mad, right? Like he's made friendships, he's getting ready to do this really difficult thing, die, which all humans do. And in that same moment, he is still 100% divine.
100%. And I just want to say, like, it's hard for me to grasp. Mm-hmm. And I've been in the church my whole life. I'm in seminary. And I'm not sure I can ever fully understand fully human, fully divine. And I have to just say, it's the mystery and it's what makes God so amazing and expansive.
Yeah, you know what? This one I've been working on for so long. And what I when we say that the image of God is in everybody,
right?
We believe that the image of God is in everybody, including myself. So I'm 100% human, right? Like I have
you're human.
I've gone through you know all the human stuff, and I have the divine in me. Mm-hmm. I mean, not 100%.
Not 100%.
I'm not quite where Jesus is, but like I might be at like 4% of divine in me. And I think our task in life is to become more holy, to move closer to love, to bring the divine into our human existence and experience.
And what I agree. And I think that if you look at the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and you look at how Jesus behaved, you look at his actions, you look at what he said, like that's what Jesus was showing us. That's why Jesus is like, this is the way. The way is not through empire, not through strength, not through winning, not through domination. The way is through meek, humble, listening to others, caring for the outcast, eating dinner with the sex workers and the tax collectors and feeding those who have no food and visiting those who are incarcerated. Like that's what Jesus was doing, people.
And we all will do that in our own ways. Like I think about this sometimes, like there's flexibility in being like Jesus, right? Like you don't have, because Jesus, like, did you wake up on your left side or your right side? None of those is wrong. You're just gonna, like, I pee sitting down. Jesus might have peed standing up. So like there are, I don't have to be exactly like Jesus, but I find the crux, the core, the central message, and I live from that space. So maybe you don't live near a prison, or maybe, you know, it's the intentionality, it's the bringing about love, because really, honestly, there are opportunities for this everywhere, every all day, and it is our attention that needs to be kind of tweaked.
Okay, and I mean, Jesus did all kinds of different things, and so you're right, you don't have to be like, you're right, maybe you don't live near a prison, but Jesus went to the well and listened to the Samaritan woman.
That's right.
Like, he literally just went to a well and listened to a woman and knew all about her.
Heard her experience. Validated her story as true.
That's all he did.
Yeah, Brene Brown in her great wisdom in her new book says, the goal is not to walk in somebody else's shoes, but to hear their story and believe them. And we do so little of hearing each other's story, and maybe even more so of minimizing the truth that exists in them.
Amen.
And I wonder, like, when we do listen to other people's stories, how much our heart expands, how much our worldview expands. Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe we get an extra percentage closer to 100% divine. But it really is in that loving, in that giving someone space and time and your energy to be present with them and hear.
And it gets you away from ego. And that is just something, I mean, I think that is really the sin, is that we are born to be about me, myself, and I. And so this, Jesus' whole life was a demonstration of how to get out of that and into hearing people's stories and having empathy. And I do wonder, I mean, we were having this conversation, is have we really gotten away from that in this country specifically, of just listening to other people? And I've done all kinds of work, and it's even hard when you listen, because we talk about active listening. Well, what is really active listening? Well, active listening is me reminding myself that even as I'm sitting there talking to somebody, this isn't about me. This isn't about me. This is about their truth, their story, their experience, not about Dana.
Yeah.
Not about what Dana's done or could do. No, it's about them. Can I just sit and hear the words that they're offering?
Yeah, and I mean, that's some unlearning to do.
Because I don't think we're raised in that space.
And I think it's a muscle. I think it is something that we have to actively seek out and, you know, just keep it working on it. It's like the practice of yoga. You don't ever master it.
No.
The practice of love is a practice. And it becomes easier, or it becomes more available in our consciousness. You know, it's something we have to work on.
Right. So, I mean, and it's funny, because I sometimes will talk about the word love in the English language, and there's really just the word love. But in ancient Greek, there was all kinds of different ways to describe love. And in this particular case, I kind of like that there's only one word, because I think it really here means everything. Mm. All and the commandment that Jesus gives in this farewell discourse is love. Period. I mean, I don't. And so that's why I come back to in chapter 14, in those two verses, I am the way. What is the way? The way is love. I am the truth. What is the truth? Love. I am the life. What is life? Life is love. Jesus loved us so much. God loved us so much that God humbles God's self to be born as a small little helpless baby and actually go through our human muck. Right?
Yeah.
Like, how amazing is that?
Yeah. I mean, God wanted to come and understand what it was like.
Yes. And if I don't, you know, we always go back to Chelsea and I are both moms. And so it's always easy for me to just get a little picture of what God, because here I am a mom of three beings, right? These three beings. And I just can't even imagine, like, I love them so much. And yes, do they make choices that I don't always agree with? And are there consequences to those choices? But I never stop loving them.
Yeah.
You know?
Right. And I think there's something where a part of you is in them.
I do. Yeah. 100%.
Right. And so, like, later in this chapter, Jesus talks about when Jesus is going away, I mean, he's going to die, but that the advocate, the spirit, comes not only to be with us, but to be in us. Right. And, like, that's where I really can grasp there is divine in me.
Yeah.
Like,
there is.
Because of grace, because of love, because of the way that of God's nature,
yeah.
Like there is divine in me.
There
and,
is.
Like how special that makes me and the person next to me and validates their existence and dignity and humanity also.
And so it dwells in you, right? Mm-hmm. So God as full love dwells in you. And I know that it's sometimes really hard for us to see that in some people.
Yeah.
Especially given what's going on in the world today.
Yeah. I mean, right? We think about, you know, I mean, the primary example right now, we're in the midst of war, right?
Right.
I mean, is this man Putin
right.
have the indwelling of God?
Right.
And we were saying a couple of days ago, you know, these kind of moments are when practicality and theology
Ooh.
Clash.
Ooh, they sure do. Yeah.
This thing that we have said for so long that God's image is in everyone. And it's like, now it's like, are you sure everyone?
You sure?
And you
Yet,
know, yeah.
We have to, and we don't, I don't think either of us has the answer for all of it, but we are, yeah, God does dwell. And I believe from birth, like from conception, like God is there.
But I liked your analogy about the painting.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so I think this came out of my theology class because we had this very conversation like, is the image of God in people like Hitler, in people like Putin? And so one of the things that we talked about was, I think there's a painting technique, I can't remember the name of it, where you're layering upon layering upon layering upon layering. And so eventually whatever was originally there is so hidden mm-hmm. that you can't even really know, you can't see it anymore. You can't see it.
Yeah.
And so that's what I wonder, you know, especially with individuals, because what is that layering? That layering is, you know, pain from their child, trauma from their childhood. That layering could be mental health issues. That layering could be, you know, it just keeps going, right?
Yeah.
It just keeps, you know, on and on and on. And so it's then all of a sudden, you can't see it anymore.
Yeah, but it's there.
But it's there.
And you do think about all the layers that, and maybe our work is to continually peel back our layers.
Right.
Like we're born with original blessing.
Yep.
And the world continues to layer, like,
yeah.
Like
layer
separation
junk on us. Yep.
And material, like, I mean, just so much stuff collectively and individually, right? Like
mm-hmm.
me, myself, I have gone through certain situations, but also I live in a culture.
Yep.
So maybe the job is to continue like to peel back the paint layers. So,
yeah.
And maybe some people have more capacity to do that.
Yeah. I, and I mean, we think about, you know, that song, "This Little Light of Mine, I'm going to Let It Shine." Well, you've got to let it out, right? Yeah, and if you don't, and if things just continue to pile upon it, then it doesn't. And so, yeah, so I think these are really complicated spaces, and there's no easy answers. But, you know, again, I think that's the way the world is. Like, that's the function. That's what we sit with. That's where we wrestle and discuss and seek with curiosity and okay with the fact that we may disagree and not see things exactly the same. Like, that's fine.
Right. And I think it's helpful to remember there's work for us to do also.
There is.
Like, we don't have to sit back and be passive observers of what's happening and,
no.
Like, can I go stop the war? Not necessarily, but can I march in a peace rally like we did yesterday?
Like we did yesterday.
And can we have these kind of conversations, and can we continue to cultivate
pray.
In our own selves, you know, the divineness that exists, and look for examples of where we can love that are all around us all the time, every day.
And I think this goes back to, if we circle all the way back to love and empathy and hearing people's stories, is it takes us out of ourselves, recognizing, like yesterday, when we participate in a peace rally or a peace vigil, we're acknowledging that this isn't about us. This is about people who are suffering and dying in a senseless war that God does not will and has no interest in.
Yeah. And while there, we don't know their names, we know we're connected.
We know we're connected to them.
Yeah. And so it is just about saying, it's me, it's us together,
yeah.
It's you.
Yeah.
I mean, and so, yeah, taking yourself out. And I think it is, like we said, it is a muscle. It is something that you have to actively seek out opportunities, take them, mm-hmm. Be uncomfortable in them sometimes, mm-hmm. but really just, it's practice.
Yeah. And just as we prepare to close out, I want to say that it's now just dawned on me, like, it's so interesting that in the farewell discourse, the commandment, the only commandment that Jesus gives is to love. And if you think about it, it's the hardest thing we do. Like, it's so much easier to wage war, to get pissed off at people, to fight people, to disagree with people. It's so much easier to do those things.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a lot harder to say, you know what, I'm going to try to love you. Let me see how I can do that.
Yeah. That's why we have to build up the muscle.
Gotta practice.
Yeah.
Gotta practice. So I don't know, maybe go out and talk to somebody today and just listen to them. Ask them their story.
And believe them.
Don't judge them. Don't try to say, oh, that didn't happen. Just believe them.
Yeah. And you know, a lot of times when people are talking, they don't need advice. They need to be heard, right?
They just need validation.
And so we all can do that, right? And so that's our challenge. And I'm reminded of the hymn, "They will know we are Christians by our love." And so let us continue to be those examples in this world.
Amen. All right, everybody. And don't forget to follow us on social media. Subscribe to our YouTube channel and our podcast, and email us with your questions. What did you think about this episode? At info@thecollectivetable.org. See you soon.